From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we are ready to talk some Packers. What's on tap today, Corey?
Today, we dance in the remains of what was once the Minnesota Vikings and get hyped about the regular season finale against the Lions in Lambeau. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Jair Alexander.
We got the bad. We got
Dallin Levitt.
We got the ugly. We got
Za'Darius Smith, awfully quiet in his return to Lambeau Field, both during play, post play, see you later. You didn't do anything all day. Pity. Tis a pity. How you doing, Banky?
Good. I got some sleep finally. A little delirious in that watch party.
A little bit.
You know.
But, you know, understandable. Completely understandable. Before we get going, obviously, we want to just extend our thoughts, prayers, wishes, good tidings, good vibes, everything that we can to Damar Hamlin and his continued recovery after the incident on Monday night. Clearly, everybody, even tangentially involved around orbiting the NFL, is hoping, praying, pulling for him. I didn't want to go into the rest of the show without mentioning it. We're not going to dwell on it. It's a Packers show. We're going to talk about the Packers, but everyone's thinking about this young man. We're all hoping for his recovery and everything good in the world for this guy. But that said, it is a Packers show. We are going to talk about the fact that the Packers control their own destiny. And look, Banky, I'm telling you right now, starting to feel like a team of destiny. I mentioned it on Beer and Ball, and I want to mention it right here, right now. You look at the fact that they've gone on this winning streak that they're on, coupled with all of the things that had to happen for them to be in this position. I mean, think about where you were, just mentally, emotionally, as a Packers fan, say, after the Detroit game, or after even the Titans game, after they had won against the Cowboys and everybody felt great, and then we had that very short turnaround to a Thursday, and then we felt terrible again. From there to here, it's feeling like a team of destiny, Banky.
I mean, I put on Twitter that I thought, are they the most dangerous team right now? I mean, here's the thing. We could lose the Lions and be out of the playoffs on Sunday, so let's keep the shit real for 2 seconds.
Team
and
then what's gonna destiny, happen? Banky!
Then what's going to happen, okay? Then I mean, here's the crazy thing. Like, I'm not wishing for this because I really want them to get in the playoffs. It's kind of crazy. Like, I brought up, like, the whole 2010 scenario. Like, I thought the 2010 away games were crazy. But, like, if they do win against Detroit, holy crap. Niners at home, Eagles at home, meaning at their houses, right? So Niners in California, Eagles in Philadelphia. And then you got to imagine there's a very real possibility the Vikings – in Minnesota for the NFC Championship game. Talk about a house of fucking horrors for Packers fans. Holy crap. But the thing is,
are you
going to
go?
Thing, okay?
Are you going to go this time? I mean, I'm thinking, Banky, you were there for all of them in 2010.
I'm working on it.
If they get in and they're on the road, I think you got to go.
You know the tattoo that says no regerts? That's me, buddy. But the crazy thing is, you know what would be so Packer? Okay.
What's that? Oh, God.
This season, there's two things that would be so Packers this season, okay? And I'm saying this as a diehard fan, and I do not want either of these things to happen. But I think the most likely scenarios are, one, we lose this weekend, okay, of the bad things, right? But then if we win, okay, I see us beating all the way to the Super Bowl and then losing to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl because – you just know the Packers fans because I feel like, okay, here's the thing. I feel like if we beat the Lions, okay, and then right. we beat the Niners, right? But then we lose to right. the Eagles. I really feel yeah. like Packer fans will feel like we got away with the season, and it's not going to be like years past where it's like, oh, my God, you didn't. Like, because right. we got rid of the curse of the Niners, right? And we finally got to beat them in a playoff game. And everybody's like, don't forget the Bucks. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't forgotten. I just right. don't see them getting past. But, you know, I actually think there's certain games where if we won and won the playoffs games, the fandom would not be as crazy as if, one, we lost to the Niners, we lost to Detroit, or we lose in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. I think those three, or if we, oh my God, God forbid, if we lost to the Vikings in the NFC Championship game in Minnesota.
Right.
I don't even want to know what that's like.
You literally just talked about how we can't move past.
I don't even want to know what that's
Sunday's
like.
Sunday's game, and now you're talking about losing the Super Bowl. Man, look. Let's just.
I don't even
know,
but
and then
we'll I know,
talk
but
about
before,
how this is a team of destiny.
I know, but before, okay, the reason I can talk about playoffs now is because it's on us, right? Last week, it was
true,
on too many
point.
Things, right? Fair. So it's yep. like, you yep. know what? All those things are outside
That's
our control.
Fair.
Now we control everything. So now it's like, okay, well, if we keep winning, we win the Super Bowl.
I mean, that's a pretty easy formula to follow. I'm with this. Keep winning.
It's
win
pretty.
The Super
it's pretty
Bowl.
Simple. And that's a whole. So you can talk about the Super Bowl if you just keep winning. No one has to do anything else. We just keep winning. We win the Super Bowl. That's it.
I'm so into it. Just keep winning. I love this motto. Can we get that on a T-shirt? Where's Brent when we need him? Just keep winning. I'm in this. Speaking of in it, I'm in it with the hotness. There is so much to talk about with the hotness this week. Let's get to it, Nicholas. Oh, baby. All right. So there were so many great plays from this previous game. Clearly, you could highlight any number of them, whether it's the kickoff return for a touchdown, whether it's the pick six, you know, the touchdown to Robert Tonyan. Like, there are plenty of plays that you could highlight. But I wanted to highlight the fact, and to me, this is just, you know how every year there's a point where you fall in love with the Packers, this specific team. Like, we love the Green Bay Packers. There's no doubt about it. Each and every year, each and every season. But there's always a point where it's like, God, I love this team. That, for me, was this weekend during this game when the Packers dialed up the petty to 11 with the gritty. I mean, because I fucking hate it when Justin Jefferson or Thielen or whoever in Minnesota does the gritty. So to watch the Packers turn around and just completely rub the Vikings face in it with the gritty, starting with Jaire Alexander, which obviously everybody saw, but let's take a look at it again. This is, and the fact that he did this with 6 minutes left in the first quarter, he's hitting the gritty. There's like 6 minutes left in the first quarter, and he's doing the gritty. Now, that's amazing, and you love it. And we all saw that, right?
Yeah,
but
how could you miss
it? But what CBS didn't show on their broadcast was this from Robert Tonyan, and he also hits the gritty after he scores his touchdown. Through the arms of his teammates, goes up, celebrates with Buck. Shout out to the woman on Twitter who put this out there. I believe her name is Marissa. I'm not quite sure if she was in the stands or one of her friends was, but they got that video. That just the fact that the Packers hate and wanted to like use the gritty against the Vikings as much as it like makes me so mad as a Packers fan every time I see someone in Minnesota do it, to watch the Packers do it back at them. Oh, I have fallen in love with the 2022-2023 Packers. I love it.
Are Minnesota Vikings media and fans the whiniest in the world? They feel like enormously whiny to me when they lose. Like,
They're certainly whiny after this game, I will say that.
Oh, my God. That video I posted of the field conditions. And, you know, shout out to Bill Huber for continuing to not do his job very well in the press conference, asking Coach about, Coach, there were some fans that were – no, there weren't Packer fans, Bill. There were some Minnesota fans griping on Twitter, and he's got to ask Coach, like, how the field conditions – like, Bill, you realize there's two teams out there, buddy. And I didn't see the Packers falling down, but I saw the Minnesota Vikings falling down a
thing.
Lot.
I'm glad you brought this up because, yeah, Minnesota fans are bitching about the field. And it's like, this is why after week one, I'm like, hey, fair play. You held serve. But don't get too high and mighty. Don't get too crazy.
Yeah, you play in a dome.
You still got to come to Lambeau in January. That's part of the gig. And as Matt pointed out in his answer to Bill, yeah, that's part of playing at home. Like, we know our field. And all the Vikings fans talking about, oh, they were slipping. Literally, Arif over at, I think he's with The Athletic now, but he wrote a piece about how the equipment dudes for the Vikings told the players, gotta
wear
the
4-inch
cleats, gotta wear the 7s.
Yeah.
And nobody did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for Osborne, because he slipped in warm-ups last year in Lambeau.
The little children named Justin Jefferson decided not to. Oh, interesting how
Hawkinson,
you only had one
Jefferson,
catch for 14
none
yards.
Of them.
Interesting.
None
MVP
of them
level.
Changed their cleats. Like
Justin
okay.
Jefferson had an LVP level game. I'm just going to say that right now.
LVP. Well played. Well played. But this is my thing. It's like... this is part of the gig. You play your division people twice a year, both at
That's
home
what I'm saying, though. They're
and
so
at their
whiny.
Gig. It's like, that is part of the game, my boys.
The
and
Minnesota
girls,
Vikings, like, the Minnesota Vikings, they're like an NBA team. They're not even really an NFL team. They're just a whiny, falling down on the field, waiting for people to give them penalties, just type of team. Like, they're, you know what they are? You know, to borrow a phrase from PFF, the Minnesota Vikings are the most fraudulent 12 and whatever they are team in the NFL. Okay?
I think that's a fair point, especially when you consider all the one score games that they've won this year. I think that's more than fair.
Yeah, they got
a negative four point
differential or something.
When PFF was talking that junk about the Packers back in 2019,
are they 12-4 now? They're 12-4, right? Yeah, they're the most fraudulent 12-4 team in the fucking NFL right now. They're
I will
so
say
fraudulent.
Though, just because we went after Eric and George that year. Now I know Eric and George, and they're good dudes, and I'm glad we met them. All right, let's talk about some Packers news, shall we? The biggest news, of course, is the Packers and the Lions will be playing the very final regular season game of the 2022-23 season because the game has been put in the Sunday night football slot. Banky, you know why I'm most excited about this? And there's lots of reasons, right? I love Packers in prime time. I love it all.
Because the NFL doesn't care about Green Bay people. Why?
No, they very much care about Green Bay people. But for the most part, like the thing I'm most excited about is that
you would never have a night game in January if you cared. Yes.
Oh, no. Very much so. I'm telling you why. Because the 70,000 plus 80,000 people in Lambeau Field, yeah, they'll be cold. But the millions of people watching, either on their television screens or here on Cheesehead TV with the watch party,
I don't think millions of people
will be able to see the inglorious color. The fireworks going off behind your head. That is it.
I hope
you get those day games. You can't really see the fireworks as well. Those night games, you see them beautifully. It's great. It's really.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jeremy, by the way. He did a great job as producer of Watch Party. He kept cutting to you wide during scoring like plays. But because the fact that it was day in the first part of the game when they did a lot of their scoring, like you couldn't really see the fireworks. So it's great when we go wide on Lambeau and we see the glorious fireworks. I'm very excited.
Speaking of the whining, the Seahawks fans whining. Oh, my God. Oh, no. You're not going to know if you're going to be in the playoffs or not. And then I love the media. And anybody who's telling me don't shit on the media, go fuck yourself. But I'll do what I want when I want on my own show as I do it. Goodbye. So
I saw that. I knew you weren't going to be able to let it go. I knew it. I knew
it. I can't. I'm the one checking the super chat, so you know I see
it. I know.
It.
I feel you.
Like
I know
all those guys. They know me. They know what I'm about. They'll retweet my shit. Yep. They know I'm a piece of shit. That's fine. I'm a buffoon. They understand I'm a buffoon at this point. They don't take it out on Nagler anymore. And when they see me, they give me shit, and I give them shit. And when I listen to them, what? They do give me shit sometimes.
It's true. That's very true. That is all very
Wes Hodd gives me shit all the time. He's like, you're an idiot.
You've told
he's
no
called
lies.
Me an idiot many times, and he's right every time he said it. But here's the thing. Why is Seahawks right. fans so whiny? Why are all these fans so whiny? All of a sudden, we're like a good team, and everybody else is like,
Because they're scared, Banky. The Packers figured it out. It took them a long time, but they figured it out, and you don't want the Packers figuring it out heading into the playoffs. You don't want that. You don't want it. That's what I'm saying.
If a million people, you know what we should have, though? We should do Lambo Cam on Sunday, by the way.
You think? Yes.
100 Why did I just realize this?
Yes.
Why did I just realize this?
I don't know, but yes. Primetime game.
I think we're going to do Lambo Cam.
Win or go home.
I really need Cheesehead TV fans to really push the Lambo Cam because it does really well because of Cheesehead TV fans.
Well, okay. Can I just say something? Because, you know, so many people pump up their own numbers and what they do as far as like numbers and streams and whatever. Let me tell you something right now that is going to make me look like an idiot. I am live on Cheesehead TV nearly every day, like Monday through Friday throughout the year with Packers Daily. We do this show live once a week during the season.
Yeah.
We do watch parties for every game.
Yep.
And yet, through the entirety of 2022, our highest streaming video was live Lambo Cam prior to the 49ers playoff game.
Oh, that's funny.
True story. A live stream of a building.
That's hilarious.
That's it. That's like people are probably sitting there going, wait, live stream of a building and what, Aaron? No. Just the live stream of a building.
I mean, to be fair, it was snowing. It was like a snow. It was pretty. It was pretty beautiful.
I know it was gorgeous, and the anticipation, and you love it, and blah blah blah. It's a live stream.
Well, it's not just me.
It's
clearly.
No, I know. Like, I'm aware. I get it. I get the draw. I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying I need to up my game. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah, wait a second. Should I bring out some touchdown squares for Sunday? Do we need to bring out touchdown squares?
I think you need to, and I think that's probably why the Packers struggled so mightily in the start of the year is that there were no touchdown squares. I mean,
pretty obvious well, to me. They weren't giving Aaron Jones the ball, so I wouldn't have had to use
this. This is another good point. That's a fair point. That is a very fair point.
I think if we get in the playoffs, I think Coach should come on our show if we get in the playoffs. I'm just saying. We need to make that happen.
Well, okay. Since the people behind the building, in the building that you are in front of, since they only ever hear from me, you should be the one to make that approach. You should
well,
be
let
the
me
one
DM. To ask, I got, I'm going to DM somebody right now.
All right. You do that.
I know who to DM. I know exactly who to
okay,
DM.
Okay. Let's keep going. Watson and Nixon both participate in practice today, as did David Bakhtiari, by the way. Phenomenal. I mean, you talk about the late season bye suddenly paying dividends. The injury report today was ridiculous for a Week 18 game for a Green Bay Packers team that traditionally has a CVS receipt-like injury report. I mean, these guys, for the most part, the only person, two people, Aaron Rodgers didn't participate for veteran rest, dealing with all his injuries, etc. Obviously Ahmed, the kicker who hurt himself in pregame warmups of all things, this poor guy, he finally gets called up and he gets hurt in pregame. They were going to bring him in to be a kickoff specialist and he pulled something. I believe he's on with a groin injury, but this is a really healthy team. Well done.
I said if we win.
Of,
okay, I said if we win.
There you
I,
go.
I put a
there
caveat on there.
There you go. I mean, that makes sense. No, we should have Coach on if we lose. No, definitely.
I mean, I would like to.
That'd be great for the year-end wrap-up, right? Yeah,
exactly.
The speaking of Nixon, Keyshawn Nixon was named today the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. I mean, I keep saying it. I said it on Watch Party. I reiterated it on Let's Talk Football. I'm going to say it again here on Packer Transplants Live. Desmond Howard vibes. This guy, the way he has completely transformed the team and, I mean, everything around it, really. We'll talk about him a little bit later, but oh, you love to see it. You love to see the impact this guy's
had.
Yeah,
I saw you snuck in a little special teams section.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're winning on special teams, you got to have it. But we'll get there.
It's true. It's true.
Finally, just for you, Corey.
I mean, I'm going to
hate on it. The Packers signed tight end Austin Allen and a kicker, Matt Amendola, to the practice squad. Just a practice squad update for you there, Banky, because I know you're a fan. I will say
why?
Though, I mean,
why did we sign a kicker if we have a kicker?
I was just going to say, you have a kicker, but...
Why is that?
With Ahmed hurting himself in pregame warmups, poor guy, maybe this is another kickoff specialist, just in case. Trying to get someone who can boot it out of the end zone so you don't have to deal with any return issues. But we'll see. We'll see. That, it might be nothing. Who knows? Maybe the guy's here for a week and then he's
Well, gone. It's not nothing.
He's on the practice squad. Could be called up at any moment. We'll see.
You took a practice squad slot, so it's not nothing.
Yep.
Something.
No, correct. Oh wait. Is this Corey Banky talking about the importance of the practice squad?
I mean, it has no value.
2023 is a strange time indeed.
2023 Green Bay Packers are way better than 2022 Green Bay Packers. I'm just going to put that out there.
That's a fair point.
I'm going to see if somebody responded to me. No, they didn't respond to me yet.
Dude, they're not going to respond.
That's the kind of clout I have. I have zero clout.
Trust me. It's going to be a while. Let's talk about the offense. Let's talk about the offensive line doing work. Look, man, what's so crazy to me is that as rough as like the 5-game losing streak was, as hard as it was to watch at times, like probably the bottom for the offensive line was the Jets game, right? I mean, you probably don't remember it because you were half like in the bag in Japan.
Barely remember
time.
It.
It was just complete domination by the Jets front. They basically couldn't operate their offense. It was so bad, right? And now you fast forward to January in this game against the Vikings and they're just owning people up front. I mean, Za'Darius Smith literally did not have a statistic. Like,
That's
he just
crazy.
Did nothing all day. He fell on a ball carrier once or twice. Like, he was a little late to a pile. Like, that was his contribution for the Vikings. The offensive line just did the work across the board. From David to Yash, who started, and then Zach Tom, who comes in. I mean, just phenomenal stuff up front from the Packers, and that's your engine, right? So it's no mystery, like, you're improving later in the year because your offensive line is playing better. Shout out to the whole O-line because they were fucking awesome on Sunday. Next up, I have a plea. I have a plea. Can I get, yes, thank you.
Oh,
thank
dear.
You, Nicholas. Aaron, can you please stop taking horrible sacks? Aaron, please stop taking horrible sacks. Whether it was down in Miami, in second play of the game when you have been gifted field position, or the fumble that you had against the Vikings when just throw it away. Just get the ball out of your hands. Like, horrible sacks at the start of these games. We're talking about this top of this show about, oh, maybe they'll make a run. Nobody's making anything. If Rodgers keeps taking these horrible sacks, you got just horrible. Get rid of the ball. Run the offense. I don't know what else to say other than don't take horrible sacks. That's it. That's all I needed to say. It's driving me insane. I'm going to lose my mind.
Really,
if I see him
it.
Back there patting the ball, looking around, trying to make something happen, trying to like stiff arm a dude who's 4 billion pounds heavier than you. And then, you know, you lose the ball. Like, I'm done. Horrible sacks. Enough of that. Enough of that. Get the ball out of your
hand. Oh, did you see? Did you? That's kind of interesting. Did you hear one of the reporters? I can't remember who it was. Ask Coach about hero ball and his response to the phrase
Schneidman.
Hero ball. Oh, it was Schneidman said, okay, I couldn't tell who it was.
And Schneidman tried to frame it. And shout out to Matt.
Yeah,
that was a good question. Like,
it was actually said, it was a good question and a good use of the phrase.
But he said hero ball. Well, what's funny is that like when you and I talk about hero ball, we're talking about third and one, and he guns it for Jesus, right?
Yep.
I think Matt was talking about it in the sense of like he didn't need to be Superman, right? But he used the phrase hero ball, which clearly.
That was the third rail for
Coach.
That was the third rail for
Coach.
He was like, I take umbrage with that word or that phrase.
He was like,
can't remember what it
was. He was not a fan of the usage of that phrase.
He definitely has watched us say the word, the phrase. I felt like him seeing a memory of us talking shit about Hero Ball.
No, it's not us. It's just like the internet. He's on Twitter way more than anyone thinks. I will throw that out there. Like, it's so clear and obvious by what he talks about at the podium. Like, now I know, like, Jason, Tom, those guys, like, they feed these guys things that are on Twitter, that are in, like, kind of the media, whatever. So they are aware of certain stuff. But it's not like Jason's there going, oh, Matt, you know, these guys are talking about hero ball. Like, Matt knows that's a phrase because it's been used all over Twitter all season long. You know, Matt's on Twitter. He knows what's up. It's like all these guys have like shadow accounts, you know, and ghost accounts, whatever. They know what's being talked about. So, but to your point, but again, Schneidman's question was good. Like, that is what you want, right? You want a team where you don't need your quarterback to become Superman every fucking week. That you can win in lots of different ways. That's a good team. So I thought Matt's question was great. He did end up using hero ball as a phrase, and that definitely hit Matt a little in a way. And then finally, last thing on the offense, the work on the edge in the run game. Look, I made a joke during watch party that I think some people got, some people didn't. But because last week coming out of the Miami game, they ran a couple of times to the short side of the field, like they're on a hash, and instead of running to the far side, although down in Miami they had a huge gain on the one where – Alan Lazard knocked three guys over. That was to the wide side of the field. Huge gain. It's like, run to the wide side of the field. They ran a couple to the short side, and they weren't successful. And I tweeted out as I was rewatching it. I was like, God, if I see the Packers run one more fucking pitch to the short side of the field, I'm going to lose my mind. Well, the Nagler's Never Right shirts are available in the Cheesehead TV store because the Packers were so successful on the short side pitches this week. Both Aaron Jones, actually both of them were Aaron Jones on both to the left and the right, but the work on the edge, both Big Dog, the tackles, the wide receivers, not just Lazard, Watson as well. Yeah. Like the edge work was so good in this game. And you have to think when you're not successful one week, it's probably a point of emphasis in practice that week. That work clearly showed up against the Vikings because it was like a clinic, basically. And we'll touch on this a little bit later in Blogosphere. But it was just great, great work on the edge in the run game. And I wanted to give it a shout out after I maligned it on Twitter earlier this week. That's all.
Okay.
Talking about the defense, let's give a shout out to Joe Barry. Let's give a shout out to Joe Barry. I mean, this man.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
This man has done it. This man has done it. I mean, you want to talk about fire Joe Barry. We've talked about how, you know, he was never getting fired. We've said that many times here on the show. But, man, Joe Barry has turned it around. Joe Barry since the break. Like, it's turned for the better. And I know Dara put up a great article over there, I believe it's at 24/7 Sports, about their tendencies, right? And he cites PFF in the article. And my thing is always like, look, you can look at a single play. I mean, just one play. And this happens on Twitter all the time where someone puts up a clip and they're like, oh, this is like cover two. And someone's like, oh, I don't know. That might be cover six or whatever. And people like not argue, but like talk about it for a very long time in the mentions. And it's like, that's just one play. So when you're citing PFF and people are talking about, and I think Dara put that the Barry and the Packers have used cover two or cover six for almost just over 45% of their calls since the bye week. That's an amazing statistic, but it's like, okay, cover six could very well be cover two, depending on who you ask. I mean, there are similar traits in both, blah, blah, blah. But the article by Dara actually is really excellent, and everyone should check it out. But the point being, it's like we thought coming out of the bye week, like, oh, we were going to see maybe more pressure packages or whatever. But, man, it's been – I mean, you look at this game against Minnesota. It's mostly just a straight four-man rush most of the time. Not every time, but most of the time. And they're mixing it up a little bit on the back end. But a lot of it is getting a little bit more physical up front, playing cover two, sometimes cover six, maybe two-man every once in a while. Not like a lot of true two-man. But Barry's done it. Whatever the formula is that he needed to switch, he's done it. Like, it's a job well done by Joe Barry. And I know Packers fans who wanted him fired, wanted him gone, probably aren't satisfied even now. But the man has turned it around. It probably needs to be recognized. That's all I'm saying. And look, they held Dalvin Cook to 3 yards per carry. That's the other thing. You talk about the run game, the run defense that was horrific for much of the season. I mean, you look at that game on Sunday. They ran it several times early on in the proceedings when things were still close. They couldn't get anything going on the ground.
My thing, and I think one thing about this team, you know, take Darnell Savage out of it, but the secondary has played pretty well. But there's one stat that really throws out. We had 12 interceptions in 8 games and then 12 interceptions in the last 4 games. So that right there, if you look at any team that the Packers, any championship Packers team that has made it all the way, the turnover differential has been huge. Every team.
Yeah.
Like it's Ice Bowl team.
Always.
Ice Bowl team, yep. Lombardi teams, down to the line. If you can get the ball more than your opponent, you win.
Ball is life. Ball is life, man. Got to do it. And what was so frustrating earlier in the season. It's like, man, they were so behind the eight ball when it came to turnovers, and they've completely flipped that script since the bye week. So here's the other thing. Late bye week. Yo, shout out, late bye week. Seems to have helped. We all thought it was too little too late.
Or you could flip that on its head and be like, maybe if Joe Barry had made some of the changes that he made after the bye week in London, maybe we wouldn't be in this hole that we're in. Seventh seed team has ever won a Super Bowl. Ha ha, you're so funny. Because a sixth seed did, and that would be the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, there's only been seven seeds since like 2 years ago. So whatever.
Also, if there's ever going to be... Okay, by the way, if there's ever going to be a team that does win the Super Bowl after being a seventh round, I would think it would be the winningest team in NFL history and a team that has NFL championships, 14 disputed, than any other team in the NFL. So I would think that probably is the team I would think would do it.
You know, this offseason, we have to do a breakdown of why the Packers actually have 14 championships. That needs to be a piece of content.
It's not hard.
I know this, dude, but this is the internet. Like, come on.
It's not hard if you change. It's classic NFL. Oh, change the rules and then you don't retroactively apply them across other things. It's bullshit. It's like sacks.
It's like the sack.
It's like, oh, I have visual. It's like I have visual evidence.
There's visual evidence of the sack record. Yep. No, I feel you. Let's not open that can of worms. I want to give a shout out to TJ Slayton. He was on one during the Vikings. I mean, this guy, the more he plays, the better he gets. Play him more. I love this kid. And look, you can talk about the injuries up front for the Vikings. I understand it. But how many times have we seen the Packers against a beat-up offensive line or a really bad offensive line, and then their guys up front don't take advantage? And we're all like, why didn't they perform better? Or why was there more kind of pressure or whatever? TJ Slayton absolutely owned that game. Man, he was so good. I don't know if I characterize it as his best game, either of the year or of his career, but it was one of them. I know that. He was so good in this game. He was fun to watch. Going back and
watching
the tape, he is a beast.
I just wonder Is it coach? Is it who is it? Because it happens on offense and defense, and I know this is a hard thing to do, right? And I've had this problem myself as a small business owner where you're like, I have this talent in the ready to go, and then I have this talent that I've developed, right? And this whole ratio of like how long I give the talent that I've developed that's ahead of the talent that I have get it coming up. But there's something in our inability, and I think even coach would probably agree with this, that we have a low grade when it comes to appropriately evaluating players when they are ready to have breakout seasons and they are ready to step up to another level.
They're ready
when
to they ascend, have sur- right? Yeah,
when yeah. they have surpassed the person in front of them, right?
Yeah.
Like identifying when a player has done that. Right? No, that's every team.
Yeah,
that makes or breaks the coaching staff, right? I mean, how many coaching staffs potentially? I mean, look at we should have never had what's his name in 2014 on our team because we didn't properly identify that he was terrible.
Brandon Bostic. Yeah, that guy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I didn't want to say
one.
His name.
I always go back to, and I think I don't know if I've mentioned it here before or on daily, but I always go back to Desmond Bishop. Like, it was so clear. I'll never forget how everyone on earth, except for the coaching staff, was like, Desmond Bishop needs to be playing. And it took injuries for him to get on the field on a regular basis. And it's like, it really feels like that's kind of what is happening up front with both, you know, more T.J. Slayton snaps, but also Devontae Wyatt
offensive
getting
line
more because Lowry
offensive line though too
the
Wyatt,
offensive line
but also
is another
the
one.
Offensive line like you know? It took us Absolutely. How long to figure out what the mix was because we had guy you know like or like how many times are we giving freaking Dean Lowry the snaps instead of you know another guy who's
exactly.
upcoming? It's just crazy.
But look, you're secure as a coach because you know what that guy gives you, as opposed to okay, I got this young guy who's got talent. But I don't know.
But you don't know until you know. Speaking of someone
consistently.
I know. But speaking from someone who like you don't know what you got until you try it. So it's just interesting.
I feel you. I think that's a valid conversation. There's no question about it. I'm just happy to see
how do you get better at
messing people up.
Well, I just wonder on
I don't know that you
scout,
can.
Like how do you get better as a coach at that? How do you take more risks without it impacting your overall risk?
I will say though, I mean, as long as it took, I think the Titans game was probably the last straw for Darnell Savage, right? Like that it was hard. It was hard to watch both missing tackles and then leaving vacant parts of the field wide open for, you know, crucial third down conversions or even just like early down conversions where you're leaving a guy wide open, blah, 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 blah. Right. So, but to make that call to basically, I won't say bench him, which they essentially did. They haven't called it that, but that's what they did. Right.
Yeah.
And then now to bring him back, he's back in the mix. A, you need obviously Darnell to be a pro about it. And he has been, there's zero question about that. And Matt's talked about that a lot, but to make that call, man, you just picked up his fifth-year option as a franchise. And that's the other thing. You're dealing with a personnel group that, okay, we've given you the ingredients, but you're cooking it wrong. You know, that might be something that's being talked about in the building. I don't know. Who knows what conversations are being had behind closed doors. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. But it's like there's a lot going on there. The weight of, oh, he's a former first-round pick. We've picked up his fifth-year option, so he's guaranteed for next year. Yeah. And then to make the call, all right, we got to sit him down. That's not something that happens lightly, and it's probably why he was starting for as long as he was. But to finally pull that trigger, that takes something, right? Yes, it was probably a little too late, but that the fact that they did it, I mean, it's good. It helped the team very clearly. And that's a good thing. So to your point, though, how long is it like, how do you get better at it? I don't know. That's tough. That's really tough. Just because of all the considerations. because of all the auxiliary stuff you're having to deal with.
Well, and I just wonder, it's like you do training camps, so I wonder how much they put a target. You know, I wonder how much coach is like, okay, I got training camp with Slayton. I've seen all these guys. All right, I feel like I'm going to project Slayton to be this good. He's going to step up at this point in the season, right? And because if you don't do that, you kind of imagine you're kind of just reacting all the time as opposed to like being like, hey, I've got some targets for these
guys. And that's the thing. You know? 100%, yes. And that's what I think. I mean, obviously.
Because if you're just reacting, then it is like just luck, right? It's like some guy gets an injury and then this guy takes over.
You're always like, yep, 100%. And that's, oh, it's funny you say that because like that's kind of my attitude to people saying like, oh, so-and-so needs to be fired. There was literally a report out of Miami today that if the Dolphins lose their final game, Mike McDaniel could be like everyone's job is on the line. You just hired the dude. Like, what
dude,
are you talking about?
There are clear statistics, math statistics that show that every team that replaces their coach within 3 to 4 years has a losing season over 12 years. Like, you need to stick with a guy. You have to.
Well, it's just like
the only teams that win stick with the guy. You know? Yes.
It's like having a program, and everyone's enamored with the idea of a quick fix, right? But man, like you can get a quick fix. That's not tough. But sustaining success, that's difficult. And that's where I think so many NFL teams and owners, to the point about Miami, are just like so impatient. And they're just like, oh, well, we were winning and now we're losing. What the hell? And everyone's got to be fired. Like, no. Like, that is, like, so short-sighted and the antithesis of building a winning football program.
I mean,
that, to me, and that's why I'm grateful for the Packers.
You are right, but you got to look. A lot of these business owners, they own very, very high cash flow businesses that are almost extraordinary of their own with very high profit margins. They never miss their quarters.
Not football people.
No, they're not. No, but that's what I'm saying. If like in your if in your business you never lose, right? If you always just mint money every quarter, and now you're losing, it's not good.
Right?
You got to change.
No, I hear you. That's true. That's true. I feel you. Finally, before we get out of the defense here, I do want to shout out Adrian Amos. Adrian Amos played his fucking ass off on Sunday against the Vikings, and earlier this year, a couple weeks ago on Packers Daily, I was asked about Amos, and they're like, someone asked, do you think he's played well this year? And I actually think he hasn't played up to his standard this season. We've watched him play much better than he has for most of this season, but damn, if that wasn't the Adrian Amos we all know and love on Sunday against the Vikings. He was so good in this game. Now, and Matt always talks about this, you put it on tape, there it is. That's the standard. That's the Amos we need to see for the rest of the season.
I'm not trying to give Adrian Amos a pass, and I'm not comparing him to Charles Woodson. But if you look at Charles Woodson's later years, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. As we get closer to the playoffs, his play improves. I mean, it's clear as day.
It's more important. He's like ready to go. Yeah, I feel you.
I'm not saying that's what should be the standard, but I'm just saying that he's in the point in his career where that does have an impact on his play for sure.
I just wish Jerry Gray would have yelled at these guys like halftime week one rather than the halftime of week 16 because he's clearly lit a fire under these dudes. I mean, Rasul was all over the place in this game. He was so physical. He was so like just ready for it. He was so amped up. I loved it. Finally, we do have to talk about one aspect of special teams, and that's Keyshawn Nixon doing Desmond Howard shit. I mean, this guy has completely brought the Packers to life. You're talking about
when was the last time we had a 104-yard touchdown at Lambeau Field?
105. It's been a hot, sir. 105.
Yeah, 105.
I don't know.
Larrabee's call, by the way. I don't want to hate too much, but his call on that play is kind of mushy mouth. It's kind of like he doesn't care. It's like milk toast.
I think everyone's kind of shocked it was happening.
But if you watch it, the Packers reposted it, and you watch it, he sees the whole thing, and he called 104, not 105, but I know it's 105 now. But
it's 105.
When's When's the last time?
They had the last time they had a kickoff return for a touchdown was Randall Cobb's rookie year, when Cobb had the opening game against the Saints. He had, I think it was that one, I think was 103, if I'm remembering right.
That was at home?
But yeah, it was, they opened, they were defending Super Bowl champs. It was opening of 2011.
There haven't been too many kickoff returns for a touchdown at Lambeau Field, for sure.
No,
sir. There have not been
that many. No, sir. Not too many. But he's entering the record books. He's leading the NFL with 50-plus yard returns, and he's only been doing it since, like, week 8. Like, this guy's amazing. This guy's amazing. And here's the other thing, and I think Andy Herman talked about this on Pack a Day. He's not just contributing as a returner. Like, he's a pretty damn good nickelback as well. Now, clearly, he didn't play a whole lot in that kind of role because of his groin injury. He got down to Miami. But I love the fact that down in Miami, he takes that opening kick 95 yards, whatever, and the offense only gets a field goal out of it. So the next week, he's like, well, I'm going to do it myself. Takes it all the way into the end zone. Keyshawn Nixon is a revelation. Love this dude. Love it. Love it.
I just love that we didn't have a flag on that. That's the best part is, it takes.
It's shocking. It's shocking.
It takes, right? It takes, when you get one of those, it takes the whole team. So I'm just glad we didn't get a flag.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. There are like horrible angles and things done by the coverage units of the Vikings, which, by the way, the funniest part of watching the broadcast is legit because they blocked the punt to set up the field goal that the Vikings had just scored. Tony Romo is like, effusive in his praise of this Viking special teams coach, and then they kick off and the Packers run it classic. All the way back, and it's like some of the worst coverage you will ever see by the Vikings. It's like, way to go, special teams coach. But look,
he
I'm
has
not,
another one
the guy. Like,
I think
I
it's
it.
So funny. I think it yeah that's just the way the cookie crumbles on a broadcast.
That just happens.
I think it's
right?
so
it
funny happens, when right. Aaron Rodgers, there's the game where Aaron Rodgers is like, fucking snap the ball. And then Tony Romo's like, well, he said that he would like him to snap it right now. I don't know if you
Dude,
heard
I
that.
Love Romo. I
it's
love
so
Romo.
Funny.
People have turned so on Romo funny. A little bit.
Why?
On Twitter, at least. But, like, I don't know. I love him. I love Tony Romo.
He's better than every broadcaster out there.
Oh, easily. Like, we watch, obviously, on Watch Party with the sound down, so we don't hear it live. But whenever I go back and watch a game that he's called for the Packers, it's such a great experience. He's great. He is great at what he does. All right, let's look at the Lions and the Packers coming up on Sunday night. Corey, the Lions can't stop the run. At all. Hmm. At all. A lot's
so
been made about like their,
so the Packers
their
are gonna
defense
go five
being,
wide. That's what you're telling me.
All right, relax. But Empty. A lot has been talked about like their defense like at home versus away and blah blah blah, and their offense the same, but like they're horrible no matter where they are against the run. Like just run fucking ball. And also they give up almost over 6 yards of carry out of shotgun per Zach Cruz, so even the shotgun runs are welcome this weekend. Shotgun runs.
You know, last week, I will say, they kind of closed their ratio away from where they were. They were getting closer to 50-50 on under center versus shotgun. And last week, they got real shotgun happy again. You got to assume that's QB1.
But again, no, not necessarily. I mean, look, the pitches that we were talking about earlier. A lot of those come out of, not every one of them, but a lot of them come out of shotgun, and they were really effective. So I don't hate it. I'm not hating.
I don't hate shotgun. I need my under center. Okay, it doesn't feel like football unless you're under center. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. Next up, we got Jamal Williams returning to Lambeau Field. Jamal has 15 rushing touchdowns. 15. And he's 6 yards away from a 1,000-yard season. I hope he gets the 1,000 yards against the Packers. I hope he doesn't get into the end zone. Although I will say, I love Jamal. And look, it's amazing what you can do when you give a running back the ball. 15 touchdowns?
Well, when you're the Lions, do you really have a choice?
Yeah, you do. You know why? Because Jared Goff has played real well this year. And he's coming off a monster game. He's literally coming off a game where he was 21 for 29 for 255 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 133.5 quarterback rating.
Jared
Goff demolished the Bears. I'll tell you what, he looked better against the Bears than Rodgers did.
It was the Bears.
I'm just saying.
The Bears.
So we got to get to Goff early and often. Disrupt this stuff and shut it all down and take the ball out of – like, look, Jamal Williams can hurt you, and I know, like, they've got receiving threats. There's no doubt about it. St. Brown is legit, and that's why he got Jair, right? But, yo, just get to Goff early and often. Let's put this thing away early. Let's go to bed. That's what I'm talking about. Let's celebrate into the night. All right. You ready, Banky?
Yeah, why not?
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to give a shout out to a group that, you know, back in the day was revered, was considered almost like holy in its ability to capture the magic, the mystique of NFL football. But for some reason, I don't get the sense that people appreciate what NFL Films does these days. Like, I know there's lots of people online doing work, there's ESPN and Fox, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But NFL Films is incredible. What they capture both in the game, post-game, blah, blah, blah. And I just wanted to highlight something they captured for Inside the NFL, which everyone should watch every week. This is great. This is Keyshawn Nixon talking to the Vikings punter post-game about his return. Roll it.
I told you.
Bro.
You
going
to give me one?
Bro.
I just needed one.
I can't believe it. And to make, you added insult to injury. You stiff arm. That's crazy. Bro, how deep was that?
That was 105.
So that was five? That was five? Bro, I can't, because that's the first one I've ever getting up my whole career.
Really?
Appreciate it. Hey, man, stay healthy. Best of luck.
Appreciate it, bro.
No more.
Come on. That's just great stuff. That's so good. I love that he's like, man, how long was that? It's the first time ever in the history of his life that someone's brought back a kickoff return for a touchdown. I love it. I just love that. NFL Films is thebomb.com. Everyone needs to give them their love.
I keep hearing Nicholas breathing in my ear right now. I can't handle it. Oh, there he goes. Oh, man.
I heard it too, but good. I'm just a pro, and I just soldier on. That's just me.
Okay. I see what you're laying down. I see what we're laying down today. Somebody chose violence this morning. Jesus Christ.
I'm the one
who chooses violence.
This truly. I do want to give one of our own a shout out right now. Dusty Evely actually literally just posted on Cheesehead TV about an hour ago. Every week he does what is called the Passing Chronicles here on CheeseheadTV.com and breaking down, you know, the passing game. He's obsessed with it, blah, blah, blah. But he also does content, obviously, for other outlets, but he also does stuff on his own kind of way, like Twitter. He puts up these videos that are so great as far as like just stuff he's interested in when it comes to the game. And someone kind of came after him today. I mean, not really maliciously, about how I think they call it the amateur production value, which is what I find endearing about the stuff he does on Twitter. Like, I love
that
it.
That was so weird. It was weird.
But so A, follow Dusty, and B, can I just set this up real quick with like what I love about this video is the intro when the music like starts and then when the guitar hits and it says with Dusty, I lose my mind every time. All right, let's roll it.
Hey, so I am very far from a run game connoisseur, but this is a cool play, and I want to take a look at this. So this is third and one. Got up here, third and one. It's going to be a gain of 31. They're on 13 personnel here. This is 4.5 left in the second quarter. So will watch the play. What's going to end up being a pitch to Aaron Jones, and he's going to just kind of scurry his way for, again, 31 yards. So we'll look at this, and then we'll kind of we'll get into it. So here we go, a little pitch. Finds a lane, nice cut, gets through, just basically runs, and then Vikings players just kind of are happy to run along with him for a little bit.
I just love that. Duh, 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 duh. Boom with Dusty. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, that blew my ears out.
He goes on to break down the entire play. I highly recommend A, following me on Twitter, and B, watching the rest of that video. But yeah, shout out to Dusty. He does great work. If you're a Packers fan, you should be consuming every bit of his content, no matter if it's pro, amateur, whatever. He does great work.
I don't think there was anything amateur about that, though.
It was great. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I just love the music's like so hard and like blah, blah, blah. And then it kind of instantly fades and you're.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. So, hey. Yeah, I'm not a run game kind of sewer.
It's just awesome. It's so good. Finally up, we got to talk about it, Banky. Every year when this gets announced, I'm like, damn it, I forgot to nominate Banky. But the Packers Fan Hall of Fame has announced their nominees for the year. Shout out to Brittany Bogan, John Bresky, Patrick Eggle, Rodney Goodrich, Jimmy Kruger, Julie Lanky Smallwood, Ryan Packer, the dude's name is literally Ryan Packer.
Hilarious.
Noam Strum, Robert Tom, and Christopher Windich. They are the nominees this year for the Packers Fan Hall of Fame. And I will just say this. Every year I'm like,
why is Mark Murphy in that picture? I don't understand. I don't get it.
Because he's there for the ceremonial.
He's nominated?
No, he's there with all the nominees. He's the president of the Green Bay Packers. And if he wasn't there, you'd be like, where's Mark Murphy? He's the president of the Green Bay Packers. He should be there. I know I'm right. But I just want to say, every year I'm like, why did I nominate Banky? And then I'm like, oh, right, you have to write 500 words about why this person should be in the Packers Fan Hall of Fame. Let me just tell you, I ain't got no time for 500 words. So maybe next year, Banky. We'll see.
Yeah, why doesn't he press his suit? I agree.
Let's focus on the important stuff. No doubt about it. Let's take a look at some YouTube comments, shall we? What are people saying on the old YouTubes?
What do I got? We got Joey Soper. Thanks, Super Chat. This could be Rodgers' last time playing at Lambeau. Thanks for depressing us, Joey. Appreciate it.
It could Kevin be, McConville. But no one really thinks
it could be. I don't think it will be.
No one buys that.
I don't think it will be. I really don't think it will be.
I don't either.
I don't think it will be. Kevin McConville, thanks for Super Chat. 5 wins from the Joe Barry statue. Fuck Paul Allen. I agree. Dude, and I do want to say, like, Paul Allen calling it Lambo, like, calling it, like, what did he say? What was on my Twitter? It was just so rude. Like, here's what I don't understand, okay? No, I do care about this. Okay. If you're an NFC North or NFC Conference, and honestly all of the NFL, but let's just start with the NFC North and the NFC Conference, you need to put some respect on Lambeau Field. It's not named after anything, but literally one of the greatest coaches of all time who helped start the NFL. It's in literally one of the most blue-collar places you could ever go to in one of the greatest states in this great union. So put some fucking respect on your mouth. Have some fucking respect for yourself and everything you do, because that place right there, that's America. That's the closest thing to pure that America has, honestly. And I'm not even, I know I'm a Packer fan, but like, tell me something more pure than that. It ain't the White House. It's that right there. So put some fucking respect on your own person, Paul Allen, and quit being a fucking douchebag. I know that's really hard for you. So go fuck yourself. Anyway, JG, thanks for the super chat. Jair shoving the F out of JJ at the line got me so pumped. We are playing with heart. The lows have beat me down, but my soul is invested again. Go Pack, go.
The physicality was so great to see. It's so great to see. And where's it been? Why don't they let your horses run free, man? Let your talent thrive. You paid Jair Alexander as the number one cornerback in the NFL. Let him work. Let him compete. I'm so happy it happened, but why did it take 17 weeks. Drives me nuts.
Justin, thanks, Super Chat. Do you think Jefferson went to sleep Sunday dreading the thought of going up against Jair twice a year for the next decade? Honestly, I think the biggest thing that he took away was, wow, I should listen to my equipment trainer when they tell me to wear seven-inch, whatever they tell me to wear for my shoes, because he was slipping all over the place. He was bad. What's really crazy to me about the Justin Jefferson thing, and I think you saw this watching the game again, is it's so fascinating the ratio of like when a guy's open and when he's not open and whether the quarterback sees him or not and the Venn diagram between those things, right? And it's like
he's breaking open just as Cousins is getting hit, right? And that's the thing. Like everyone talks about week one and all the big time numbers he put up, which, you know, can't take it away from him, no doubt about it. But there are plenty of plays in that week one game where you can watch and see Cousins getting hit just as or just after he releases the football. The difference in this game, the Packers were getting to him and or hitting him before Justin got open. Like, this isn't rocket science, right? Holland's sack is a perfect example. We talked about this on Let's Talk Football. Like, Jefferson's about to break wide open. And Hollins sacks Cousins right before he can throw the football. That's, you know, that's the back end working with the front end. That's what you need. That's what didn't happen in week one.
Cheeto 218. Is the FBI investigating Lambeau's wet field yet? I believe they've started an investigation.
Well played.
I believe the investigation is called We Don't Care. Joe Mailman, thanks for the super chat. Rodgers' last game at Lambeau. Guys, with this last game shit. Okay. Oh, dear.
All off season, buddy. All off.
I don't want it. I don't need it in my life. So please don't give it to me. Thank you. Saul Guyin. Thanks for Super Chat. We need a Cheesehead TV and Carry the G big hats. You know, I agree with you. I love those big hats. They're hilarious.
100% on with this.
Those things are so cool. I wish I was as cool as Jair Alexander, but I'm not. Very, very well aware of that fact because I've been wanting to wear one of those big hats. I want to wear one of those, a G1.
That'd be dope.
I don't think they sell them at Lambeau. I think he had to like get them special ordered.
No. Well, no, there's a dude who like has, I don't know if he's franchising it out, but he like the first time I ever saw it was one of the guys in the
Manning cast,
locker room had it.
Oh, I thought it was Manning cast.
No. It was before that. There's a guy who makes them who one of the dudes on the Commanders knows is good friends with. And he wore it in the locker room. That's the first time I ever saw it. And then since then, it's been becoming more and more popular. So whoever that dude is, well done. I need my Packers hat. Let's go.
Allison Tuckwab, thanks for the super chat. Wow, holy $100 super chat, Batman.
Allison, thank you.
So I'm going to read this. Allison, I'm going to try to read this and not screw it up. I wish they would get people what's going on so they can move on, but we do have the family. Condolences, but knowing if that family's child is okay, football can continue. Otherwise, if not, work around the Bills in Cincinnati, then wait for them. I
hear what you're saying, Allison. I hear what you're saying.
I mean, all reports are that he's doing better, right? I believe.
Yep,
but
it's moving in the right direction.
Allison makes a very good point because, you know, we talked about this pregame, and I think if we're going to talk about this, is probably the best time to talk about it. We did mention in the beginning. You know, if he goes south, what does the NFL do? And not even if he goes south, regardless of what he does, I think the assumption at this point is that they are going to cancel the game or no game the game or tie the game.
Yeah, there'd be no contest or tie it, right? Yep.
Yep. But if he does not do well, the NFL might have a problem on their hands and there might be something that they have to do. And I'm not advocating. I'm just saying like the way this thing could go. I mean, what's crazy about this whole situation is if you look at, I'm surprised Skip Bayless still has a career after this moment in time.
Are you really though? Are you really? I mean, look, as horrible as Skip is, and that tweet was horrible and his response to Shannon today was ridiculous, blah blah blah. That's, I mean, what do you expect out of pig but a grunt? You know what I mean? That's his whole brand. That's who he is. And by the way, here's the other problem: there are plenty of people in this country who agree with Skip.
It's true.
It's why he has a gig. You know, it's you know.
But
that's a whole other conversation.
But I will say, you know, as much as like watching coaches' press conference on this, and watching the NFL and a lot of the players and coaches, I think that there's something that, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I do think that there's something that the pandemic and whatever you want to say about the Me Too movement and other movements in this country, right? Black Lives Matter, other, whatever they are, right? Political or non-political movements in this country have definitely shown coaches and players the power that they hold in a way that every year you see the power of the coaches and the players getting higher than the owners in the NFL over time. And so I hope that trend continues, because
higher than, but they're finding their voice in a way that never
they see they have power.
When we were kids,
they see they have power. Yeah,
like you look at the ability to, you know, just drive the narrative, especially obviously social media has helped in that regard. But like they know now that they can at least, if not like change things, essentially, they can at least introduce topics and narratives and drive a conversation in a way they never could have before. But yeah, to your point, I think coming out of the pandemic, that is very clear, right? That is very obvious. There's a million ways that you can get your voice heard. And I think players finally, after decades, at least have an ability to like find their footing and have a platform to say, you know, this is bullshit or that we don't agree with that or whatever, in a way that never happened in, say, like the 70s and 80s, you know?
No.
So, and that, to me, I know not everyone agrees, but to me, that's a very, very good thing.
Well, and I do want to say, you know, I really liked what Mina Kimes said about this whole situation, which was, you know, we get so caught up in the bullshit, in the Skip Bayless, and the, you know, these moments happen, and we get caught up in the offensiveness and all this stuff, and yet the players in the NFL only get health insurance for 5 years after their retirement.
Don't start with this, we're not talking about
that's her point. Her point is we don't talk about, that's a real issue, right? That's an actual issue.
Tell me about
it. If you look on paper and you look at the NFL and how much they make on their broadcasting rights every year and every team, you could give you could give 65 players who qualified for a roster spot times 32 health insurance plus their families for the rest of their lives, and it wouldn't even equal one broadcasting contract for 1 year for one team. So it's like,
don't get me going.
It's just,
don't get me
this
going,
disingenuousness
Corey.
Of it is just
Corey.
Sad.
Corey.
You know,
go search my name on Twitter and search Lifetime Healthcare and find the tweet where I talked about when Adam Schefter put out there, as the lackey he is, about during CBA negotiations back in 2020. The NFL has offered all of this and shifted $5 billion worth of benefits and money, blah, 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 to the player side over like all these different mechanisms, because that is a feint by the owners not to offer lifetime health care. Lifetime health care has been off the table in these negotiations.
It makes no sense.
Like basically
it
every
makes
single time.
No sense.
Because they know the players don't have the stomach to sit for a year plus. And like, I don't want to get into a whole fucking CBA negotiation bullshit because it makes me so mad. But dude,
but you got to imagine though,
drilling on about this on Twitter for years. Don Mikowski can't even walk without pain. Lynn Dickey can't walk without pain. Fucking Don Mikowski is like suing the league because he's like,
why did we take an animation there?
That was so weird. I have no idea. But
no, but like I guess
the fact that the NFL has taken the stance they have in all these negotiations, when to your point, they could very easily afford to give every one of these guys, who by the way don't even qualify for the healthcare you're talking about until they're vested.
Yeah,
it is ridiculous. And I know the NFL had to come out today and say, "Oh, don't worry, DeMar will be taken care of, even though he's not vested." No shit. Every player should be. Every single player, the moment they sign an NFL contract, should be.
But you got to imagine. You have to imagine, and it's really up to the fans when things like this happen, to Mina Kimes' point, is we really need to try to focus on those type of issues when these things happen, as opposed to, you know, me being like, oh, Skip Bayless should be fired, all that kind of stuff. So I do think you know, one day, one day we're going to figure out social media. It's not going to be so toxic that we're going to figure out how to use it to power for good. Andrew Ware, thanks for super chat.
Whoa, wait, before we go on, you just said using social media for good. Shout out to Tom Grassi. Tom did exactly that Monday night and basically throughout this week, both with his coverage of what happened on Monday, being able to drive donations to Hamlin's toy drive charity. And also, Tom just bought like tickets to the game on Sunday, just started giving them out to people on Twitter. Like, God bless.
He bought two tickets. Talk about power. I agree. No, I agree with you.
He bought two more today. He bought two more today. Gave out another set. Yeah, I'm just saying. Power for good.
I mean, that's good. Ticket giveaways are a little bit, they're not necessary. You know, yes. Charity is great. But ticket giveaways are marketing. They're marketing. Just FYI. Giving people tickets is marketing. Hate to tell you, but. Can I move on now? Can I move on now? Okay, thanks, Coach. Andrew Ware, thanks for Super Chat. We would have never won the Super Bowl without Bishop. True story.
Correct.
Dustin Schuett, thanks for Super Chat. I feel like we haven't talked enough about the fact that Keyshawn Nixon is Snoop's nephew. Go Pack Go, Pappies. I mean, every time we bring him up, somebody says he's Snoop Dogg's nephew.
I know, which is true, but it is funny because I did see something on Twitter where it was like, how many nephews does Snoop have? Because a lot of people claim to be his nephew.
A lot. Kevin McConville, no, Super Chat.
To the point, he really is his nephew. Okay, sorry.
He really is. Thanks, Coach. Kevin McConville, thanks to Super Chat. First regular season game at Lambeau was amazing.
Oh, dude, it's awesome that you got to go. Congrats. I mean, that was a hell of a game.
Your first regular season game. I was like, wait, we've had some other ones. Jonathan Hale, thanks for the Super Chat. I know we get after Josh Myers for being inconsistent sometimes, but has anyone ever played the air triangle better? No, the answer to that is no.
So, but has anyone asked? Wait, I want to know. Did anyone in maybe Cassidy has this, but I need to know.
Huber.
Was it an air triangle? Where is it a cowbell? Or was he holding up a drum? I need to know.
Or was it a crash cymbal?
It could have been
it. It could have been like a crash
symbol. We don't know what it was. These are the questions we need, people.
You know, I will say that was a very well orchestrated. That felt like everybody went over the hand signals before time and what they were going to do, you know? It didn't feel like they pulled out hand signals from 4 and 5 years ago, and then they just were like, fuck it, let's do it. It really felt like they coordinated together, and they worked together as a team to make
hand
that
signals
touchdown
feels like
celebration
a million years ago,
happen.
And you just brought it out. I will say, you know what doesn't get enough? Because there's no
I'm hand signals for life. I don't give a fuck. As soon as it was a nothing burger, here's the thing. As soon as it was a nothing burger, it's not a fucking nothing burger, because guess what? As soon as the lady doth protest, it's a thing, and it's going to be a thing forever and ever, because I'm petty as fuck.
My only thing from that celebration, which was amazing, just phenomenal stuff. There's not a great shot of Bakhtiari just wailing on the sacks. Like, you can kind of see it. Like, you can kind of get a picture of it, but you can't. There's not a great angle where, I mean, Bach was going to town on the saxophone. I love it.
Hey, Carl Van Beckham, thanks for Super Chat. Hey, guys, I need to see Slayton and Clark pressuring Goff right up the middle all night. He's a statue. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Carl.
Thank
you so much.
I love it.
Eric Slaby, thanks for Super Chat. What's your all-time starting Packers offensive line in the last 20 years? Mine is probably the 2014 line, just with every guy at their peak. No. My top line is going to be, you got to look at the 90s line. You got to have Chad Clifton in there. You got to have Tauscher in there. You got to have an old bag of donuts in there.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I'm going to go with the 2003 line. I'm going to go with, like, Mike Wall, Rivera, that whole group. Well, like, that's probably my squad. But
because they won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl.
I'm not saying they won a Super Bowl, but you're talking man-to-man. That's a pretty damn good line.
Dude, I would take Clifton at left tackle, Tauscher, old bag of donuts. That line was so freaking good. It was ridiculous. Favre never was on his back. That like, 96, I think they had, like, 4 sacks or something. It was crazy. It was crazy.
You just pulled it
was crazy.
Out of your ass. You don't know.
Okay, go look it up and see how close I am. See how close I am, Nagler. It's like I
right
have
now?
Uh,
you want me to do it right
I'm,
now?
No, I don't want you to do it right now, because by the time you do it, I'll be done with all the super chats, okay?
All right,
I'm going to be right. Somebody's going to look it up, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, Corey Behnke, you are not the buffoon I thought you were. Johnny Rivers, ChatGPT can write the essay for you, Nagler. I just had it ghostwrite a 500-word essay on Jim Leonard being a terrorist for Behnke. Shopping it now.
I love it. I'm all in. I'm all in on this.
ChatGPT would be like, who is Corey Behnke? Allison Tuckwab. Gotta do no contest. Everyone has to forfeit. Everyone has to forfeit. It won't be fair. Nobody gets the party trophy.
I think it should be a no contest, but we'll see what the NFL does.
Yeah, because it was like, what, 8 minutes in?
Eight minutes? Yeah, it was still in the first quarter. It was 7-3.
Yeah, it was like 8-something, like, I think. 8 minutes in.
It's a no contest. To me, that's a no contest, yeah.
Luke Carnes, I'm loving the energy of this team. Tunyon is looking more himself. I would agree with that.
He really is. He really is. What I love about that touchdown is, like, when he cuts in and then out, the second he turns, he sees that the coverage is pressed up, and he knows he's got all that space in the corner, and he throws his arm up because he knows, like, just run to the corner. I got a fucking touchdown if Aaron will throw it to me. I love it.
Somebody said, the 90s were not in the last 20 years. Okay, I hate you, because to me, the 90s were yesterday, okay? So, you know what? I bet you're fucking 16 years old, and I hate you. I hate you. I hate you with a passion that you would never imagine.
Oh, God, I love this show. All right.
Where are we at? He Soder. No idea how they did it, but the 2023 Packers need to kick the playoff door down on Sunday, believe.
Come on, Soder. Taking it to the street. Sorry.
I actually didn't pay attention that somebody said in the last 20 years. I did my classic Corey thing where I look at what it is, and then I put my own twist on it. And then I just decided to answer the question based on what I saw. So I basically gaslit myself. I gaslit myself when I read the question, and then I decided what. That's what I do all the time. So
I'm down with it, man. Down with it.
I'm sorry, but there is no offensive line in the last 20 years that can hold a candle to the 1967 or 66 offensive line and then the 96 line. Because if you want to look at the greatest offensive line the Packers have ever assembled, you're talking about...
sacked 40 times in 96.
Okay, so I was 10 times off. If you want to talk about... Okay, wait. Did you look this up, or are you getting this on the chat? I don't agree.
There's no way they coordinated it.
They looked on Wikipedia. That's wrong. Okay. I said 40. It was 40. I said 40. I was like, 40. He was sacked only like 40 times. That's hilarious. I love pulling my shit out of my ass and people calling me out on it. You remember in college when I don't do this anymore, and I'm kind of happy about it because I used to do it all the time. God. Oh my God, the gross generalizations you and I, when we would argue I would throw down the most grossest generalizations you've ever seen in your whole entire life.
First time we ever recorded this show ever in the history of our lives, you referenced a corner about making some play, and he didn't even play for the Packers anymore. So, like, that's Packer transplants. That's how we work, man. It's all good.
Yeah, but, you know, I was a lot smarter when we would do, like, four or five takes. Remember when we would do, like, four or five takes for every segment?
Yes.
I definitely got better.
You're like, oh,
you
that didn't sound good. Yes, correct.
Yeah, you got drunk. But there is no real argument about the power sweep in that offensive line. That's the greatest offensive line. The 1966 and 67 offensive lines that Vince Lombardi assembled were literally the Avengers. Okay, so
pretty much. I mean,
let's just be real.
I mean, everybody from Ringo to Greg. Greg, who was amazing. Like everybody. Yeah.
Everybody.
100%.
It's incredible.
By the way, keep going. We got super chats piling up here.
Andy. No, we only got two more. Andy, with how they're playing, I think the team is scared of no one. They're pretty well tested. Are they nobody's underdogs? ?
I think so. Hell yeah. Come on, Mike McCarthy. Nobody's underdogs. You better believe it. I love it.
I'm here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm being honest with you guys, okay? Let me be honest with you right now, seriously. Okay, all kidding aside, 46. Mm-hmm. I am going to temper my expectations for the next 4 days. I'm going to be really hyped about Watch Party, but the fucking, I can't tell you how many times I've been at Lambeau Field and I've watched the Detroit Lions do the impossible against our team.
Oh, dude. All I keep thinking about, damn you, all I keep thinking about is that night game. Mike Daniels had the roughing the quarterback penalty on Stafford when they should have been off the field, and it all fell apart after that. Like, dude, yes. Like, no, you're right. Like, yes, the Lions could – like, look, the Lions have played LaFleur's teams tough. The entire – it doesn't matter if it's Campbell or whoever. Like, they've just been tough against LaFleur's teams. So, yeah, it's not a given. Definitely not a given. No doubt about it.
Oh, John Faust. Thanks for Super Chat. Did you see the Drew Magary, I think, article from SFGate? I did, where he talks about Rodgers, right? He's, like, talking about how he's sick of Rodgers. He's done with Rodgers or something else. I just saw one recently.
Drew's by the way, Drew is literally...
He's a Vikings fan.
Oh,
yeah.
No shit.
I literally was going to post that. Like, he was like, no one knows my thoughts on Rodgers. I'm like, you're a Vikings fan. Who gives a fuck?
You're a Vikings. We all know your thoughts on Rodgers.
Nobody cares. Nobody
cares. And I like Drew, by the way. I've met Drew at the Super Bowl years ago. He's a good dude. But, yeah, no, he's a Vikings fan. So, yeah, of course he's sick of Rodgers.
I don't like him, and I've never met him. Thanks for the super chat, Luke Carnes. Corey, love your confidence now. I love your confidence no matter the outcome. Yeah, you know what? That's the key to life, buddy. Just be confident. Just be confident. Just be confident. Just be confident. And don't be afraid to act like a buffoon. That's how I've gotten through life so far. So, and you know, I got to give it up to Mr. Matt Mamba. If my memory serves me correctly, the 1966 Packers O-line gave up negative 72 sacks. So,
that checks out.
That checks out. It all works out.
Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. Thank you to every one of our Patreon members. You guys are the best. We thank you so much for the support. Also, of course, here on YouTube, shout out to the Carry the G Club members. Carry the G Club members get special emojis here in the chats and on Watch Party. You get access to our weekly happy hour. We can't thank you guys enough for the support. Oh, look at this, Charlene. Thank you for the super chat. Happy birthday to Olive on the 6th. All January 6th birthday people are awesome. That's a fact. Charlene, you are insanely sweet. Thank you so much. And Olive forever now is like so upset because of obviously the events of January 6th, which we won't talk about,
oh dear,
have now overshadowed her birthday.
That sucks.
Like, forever. She's like, that she's sucks. So upset about it. It's hilarious.
It'll change over time, though.
It hopefully fade with time. I know. That's what I keep telling her.
It will.
Corey, you got anything else for the fine folks at home?
No, I got to go to dinner. I got to go. I didn't realize how late it was. It was my fault, so I'm sorry.
It is late. That's what I'm saying. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and and just, it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.